I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Fight, finish. And I'm going to go with fidelity because I can't remember unless they all start with the same letter. So fight, faith, and fidelity. Those three things is what Paul lifted up. Or whoever wrote 2 Timothy, if you want to start an argument with anybody, just go up and say, as Paul says in 2 Timothy, oh my gosh, I'll yell at you. Paul didn't write 2 Timothy, that was somebody else. And it was I had one guy in seminary that said, well, you see, Paul had that shipwreck. And when he had shipwreck, he hit his head. And when he hit his head, his whole vocabulary changed. And so that's why 2 Timothy doesn't match up with the rest of the letters. I thought that was a stretch, but whatever. Whatever this was somebody trying to say, or Paul saying, what Paul was like on the very last days, month of life. He had lost the first appeal. He had already been there, and it looks like where he's sitting now, he's going to go off to be killed by empire for going against the king, going against meddling with politics. Oh my gosh. And so at this time, he sort of looks back over his life, according to his author, 2 Timothy, and he says these three things. Instead of being upset or angry or depressed or given up or regrets, instead he says three things. Fight, fidelity, finish. Now you could say the good fight is that he did it according to the rules, that he had the umpire with him all the way. The official said he was okay. He counted the mats. He didn't cheat and all that. I don't think so. I think the good fight is something worth fighting for. Something that is worth fighting for is a good fight. John Lewis, a politician and a great leader of our country, talked about getting in, not fighting, he talked about getting in good trouble. He talked about good trouble, to get in good trouble. You could always tell John Lewis, because when everybody else was out marching, ready to get beaten up, bloodied, and tear gassed, and they were, you know, in their work clothes for getting beaten up, bloody, and tear gassed, John Lewis was the guy in the suit. he came, he was serious. And John Lewis was saying that if you see unfairness, if you see injustice, if you see someone being oppressed, you have a moral obligation to speak up, to walk, to shout, to call attention, to shout, to sit down, to demonstrate all the things you can do to make that right. In fact, to get in good trouble. Good trouble. Trouble that is worthwhile for getting into. John Lewis, at the end, he had a book come out. And it kind of reminds me of 2 Timothy, you know, because it was a collection of his thoughts and essays. He's supposed to have been involved. I don't know how much involved it was. It was at the very end of his life. And the last book came out. It said, Carry On. Carry On. And his idea was that he would have a book, the last book of his life, to pass a torch to the next people, maybe some sitting here, to work for the good of the people, good of the country. Carry on, fight the good fight. Stand up, speak out, get in the way, get in trouble, good trouble. I think that's what Paul got in. He's got in some good trouble. I also want to talk about keeping the faith. Now, keeping the faith could be you preserved, that you persevered through all your life, that you didn't renounce Jesus, that you kept the faith, and, you know, kind of a personal inside yourself, all to yourself. But I like to think it's more like fidelity, you know, kept the faith as kept it the way it should be, preserved it. Kept it unadulterated, kept it from being watered down, kept it from being distracted. Boy, do we have a trouble with that now. I mean, we've gotten rid of radios. Does anyone still listen to radio? No, one person. I have a weekly radio show, so you know I'm looking bad at all of you because I have the weekly radio. So the but remember you used to tune the radio and you would tune it and then you almost get it and you tune it just in and you could hear the message, you could hear the voice, you could hear the music, you could hear the program. But on either side was a lot of static. And they called that when you just get it just right, you just had the music, you just had the tones, you just had the sound, you just had the program, you just had the broadcast, and none of that other stuff. They called that high fidelity, that you could hear things with fidelity, only the message and nothing else, nor the distractions, no other things that obliterated or changed the music. Boy, do we have trouble with fidelity today with our faith. Horrible, awful trouble, so much static. I call it white noise. Have you heard the white noise? All lives matter. Just drowns out the suffering of the people of color, drowns out the suffering of the indigenous people, drowns that all out with white noise. All lives matter. You will not replace us. Welcome the stranger. Love the stranger. Welcome the stranger. Help the captives. Welcome people to come in. It goes, oh, we're going to have borders. Close the borders. Secure the borders. You don't have a country. Let's go. White noise. Covering it up at all. So hard to keep the faith, to have fidelity to the faith, to tune in the faith and tune out everything else. I like to say we're blasphemy. You know what I hear? I come down through Minden from Carson City, and what's up in Minden? They have a Save America rally. Now, y'all may not be old enough, some of you, but I remember when they had a Save America rally, they were talking about the Savior Jesus Christ. Anybody remember Savior Jesus Christ, both to save America, save the world? He was the Savior. That's fidelity. That's keeping the faith. Saying something else, someone else, going to save America? White noise. White noise. Paul here says, I didn't let that white noise drown out the message. I kept it high fidelity. I kept the faith. That's one of the things that we are called to do, to keep the faith no matter what happens, no matter what we go to. I got more stuff here. This is the same sermon whether you were coming or not. I'm not picking on y'all. Levi heard the same thing. Troublemakers, right? Yeah, they could be the troublemakers. Good trouble. Good trouble. What does that mean, taking those two together, high fidelity to faith and getting into good trouble? Maybe it's throwing out the whole idea that we don't elect the president, we elect people who elect the president. What's that about? I'm against that. What is it about where the leaders choose their voters? What in the world is that about? We're going to change the districts all around so I get the voters that I want to stay in power. The people in power get to choose who's going to vote for them to keep them in power. It's supposed to be the other way. The people are supposed to choose who's the people in power. The people of power aren't supposed to choose who's voting for them. That's just wrong. Now you can tell me, Christy, and you probably will, Christy, you're getting into politics. Oh my gosh, awful, terrible, awful. Well, I follow the God that is the God and the ruler of the universe. And it's not the entire universe except the, you know, little parts of the United States where we're arguing about this issue. So God, you stay out of that part. The rest of the universe, cool. But this part right here, no, you're not supposed to be there. Uh-uh. That's white noise. That's not getting into good trouble. People say, oh, Christy, that's just being politically correct. You're just being politically correct. You know, we had a good word for political correct. It's called compassion. It's called empathy. It's called looking at other people as ourselves. that feel what they feel, to understand what they're going through, to be with them in their struggles and their opposition. That's not politically correct. We had a good word, that's compassion. And what are they advocating when they say no politically correct? What do they want? They want political corruption? I would much rather be correct than corrupt. So when someone says, oh, that's just politically correct. Oh, you're for the corruption. You like politically corrupt. I would rather be correct. If that doesn't work, you talk to them about empathy. Don't have to go inventing new words. I thought that was a horrible, awful thing to do, to invent new words and change things. We had a perfectly good word called compassion. What does this look like? What does it look like when we don't go with empire? What does this look like if we were kind of like Paul was, in that he went up against empire, probably preaching like this and valiantly, Levine, and got in trouble. But what does it look like when we go up against empire and say all that stuff that you value, that you structure society, that you're saying how people should live, that there should be slavery, that there should be oppression, that there should be winners and users, that there should be huge wealth inequality, that we should worship the emperor to save the empire instead of God to save the world? What does that look like? We got a video. And we'll probably see what it looks like. And this is the last part about finishing the race. What does it mean to finish the race? It's not winning the race. It's finishing the race. Now that is some good trouble. He went against the officials and the crowd and finished the race. He said that his dad came up and said to him, you don't have to do this. You can quit. And he said, get me to lane five. That was his lane. And he finished the race. 65,000 people, the entire crowd, got up and gave him a standing ovation. That was finishing the race. One winning the race. And even he says in later interviews, I'd rather have the gold medal. You got to really... But that's what it looks like when we don't go for the gold, when our only motivation, our only thing is to win, like the empire tells us to win, like the capitalist system tells us to win, that the one who dies with the most money, and we got to keep trying to make sure that the rich gets even richer and more goes up to the even though tippy top 1%, and then everybody else gets crumbs. Winning at all costs. Going for the gold instead of going for community and support and helping one another so that we can all finish the race instead of one or two winning the race. John Lewis, Paul, Jake Redmond all show us what it is like to not get into empire, to live the life of faith, to be faithful, which is to fight good fights for good things, get into good trouble when there's something that needs to be called out, to be fixed, to be changed, to be for other people so that they can get in the race and finish the race. What it means to be fidelity to the faith when all the other noise attempts to drown it out, to still hit those clear tones and broadcast the gospel message of love your enemies. Do not kick them out. Help those that need help. Later on, I think if we remember, we're going to talk about in Presbyterian churches, we say forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of debts. But some people would tell us that forgiving debts of student loan was some kind of horrible, awful thing. No one complained about forgiving the PPP loans, but that was different, I'm told. But every Sunday, we are radicals. Every Sunday, we get into good trouble. Every Sunday, we say, forgive us our debts. Because, well, that's spiritual debts, Chris. He's not, no. Forgive us our debts. It's a very subversive thing. Our people come from a place where honor and debts and money and thrift were very important, the Scottish people. And they chose to say, forgive us the absolute worst thing, being in debt, as we forgive the absolute worst thing with others. That was some strong words that we prayed. Don't let them be drowned out. Don't let it be confused about who we're looking to save America, who we think the savior of the world is. Don't let that be drowned out. Get in some trouble over it. That's a good thing to get in trouble over. Stand up for those that are suffering. Call out for people that are unjust, that are being put down. Stay tuned in to the message and the faith of Jesus Christ. And you will finish the race. You may not win it, may not want to. But you will finish it. And God will keep you. And it's not something that's just one day. John Lewis says it's not just, freedom isn't just a place where we stop. It's just not one day or 1 hour, or it's not election or presidential term. Freedom is a lifelong pursuit. It's a race that we're all looking to finish together. Amen.